This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Sell time, Michael, here on the whole show. Okay, I want to read this tweet from Go Pokes. I seem to recall someone saying Bo was elite this summer. Like top five-ish. Wonder who that was. Yeah, you can, hey, listen, man. If you make a prediction on this show, you can take your lap, your victory lap. That's okay.
I don't remember saying that.
But it wasn't you. Other than go Broncos, and I think they're going to win. That's pretty much the Broncos knowledge you bestow upon us.
How dare you.
Buy or sell, Bo Nix is elite.
Not yet.
I believe I am selling that, Mike. He's not elite yet. And I get it. Yesterday was an elite performance. But Mike, he's not there yet.
You got to play more consistent elite to be elite.
I mean, let me just buy or sell. Like, is he better than these guys? Is he a better quarterback than Matthew Stafford?
Pass.
And say no. Is he a better quarterback than Jared Goff?
I don't want to answer that question.
No. Is he a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes? No. Is he a better quarterback than Josh Allen? No. Is he a better quarterback than Justin Herbert? And the answer is no. Is he a better quarterback than Caleb Williams right now? I don't think so.
I mean, you look at his last year and this year compared to Caleb Williams last year and this year.
Body of work, sure. But Caleb's having a phenomenal year. Although Bo's numbers are better than Caleb's, so maybe I'm wrong on that one. Is he a top five quarterback in the league? It shouldn't be this difficult, Mike.
Yeah.
I mean, Dak Prescott is having actually a better year than most. He's thrown for more yards than anybody.
Yeah, but how many of those yards are junk yards?
Their offense is pretty damn good. Can't stop anybody. I can't put him there.
Yeah, neither can I.
I mean, Drake May is having statistically a better year. Sam Darnold. Can you put him over Sam Darnold? I don't think so. So, just, you know, give it time on Bo. Buy or sell, Mike. I know you're not a Nuggets expert, but the Nuggets are beating the Houston Rockets tonight. What do you think? Buy or sell?
I buy that the Nuggets will rocket over Houston.
There you go, Mike. The Nuggets haven't, I mean, they've been on the road. So they've lost four games in a row at home. It's a terrible number, but they're in the midst of their best start ever. They haven't been back home in a while. So the last time they were at home was on December 1st, where they lost to Dallas. And that was a very disappointing loss. Since then, they beat Indiana, Atlanta, Charlotte, Sacramento. So a very successful road trip. They now have the next four games at home, including two against Houston. And a little birdie tells me we're going to have some tickets to give away soon. Little birdie tells me that, Mike. This is going to be a tough game. And the Nuggets are really just trying to prove that they can win at home. They're winning everywhere else, but just can't seem to do it at home. The Rockets are coming off of a 115-113 win over the Clippers. It's tough. I mean, you got Sengun, you got Durant, you got Thompson. I mean, this Steven Adams is a backup center. Clint Capella's on this team. I like the Nuggets tonight. I think so. Eastside Chris chiming in. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Brady, Bo is by far farther along than Elway was at this time. Not sure if it's coaching or ability, but...
I would say probably coaching.
Yeah, I think this isn't a knock. I think Bo Nix is probably one of the more coachable players in the league, just from everything we've heard. I mean, you heard about his draft story and why Sean Payton was so impressed with him because of how he showed up, did his homework. But yeah, it's a lot of coaching. Sean has done a phenomenal job with Bo Nix. He's given him a hell of a lot of opportunities, sometimes to the point where it's a little frustrating because you want them to run the ball more. But all that stuff, Sean Payton is kind of looking like an evil genius right now. Putting all that stress on Bo Nix the last 2 years, not committing to an effective run game for the last 2 years, really not. He didn't do that even when they had J.K. Dobbins healthy. So, I don't know, Issa, Chris, what are you trying to say? You trying to go there? You trying to say that Bo is going to surpass a guy like John Elway? Gonna be tough. That's a tough road to hoe, Michael.
Look, even if he passes John Elway for yards and passes John Elway for wins.
Different league.
Different era.
Yeah, different era.
You can't say Patrick Mahomes is a better quarterback than John Elway. And
he's got the hardware.
He's got more hardware, but he had a better coach and more talent.
So Andy Reid's better than Mike Shanahan?
I don't know if I would say that.
I would.
He's a damn good coach, but I think Patrick Mahomes had a system.
Reid didn't win a Super Bowl with Philly, but they were threatening a lot while he was there.
Yeah, he was 0-for. He was 1-5, I think, in the NFC championship games.
Yeah, and
they were always there.
And then the one they won, didn't they lose to the Patriots in the Super Bowl?
They did, because they had a very tired, fat quarterback.
Donovan McNabb was very tired. I don't know if he was sick or something, but remember that? That was a weird game, because there was no hurry up.
Yeah,
they were down by one score.
I think he was very out of shape.
Yeah.
And a couple years later, he was in a Pizza Hut commercial.
I loved Donovan McNabb, though.
Well, I did too.
I was a big fan of his. I'm not going to be bold there, but how about this? Well, Manning's time with the Broncos too was elite. So Manning is number two, right? You'd go Manning is the number two, second best quarterback the Broncos have ever had, correct?
I think he can pass Manning because they are in the same era. Don't know if you can judge him and John Elway, because just the offenses are so different. They're just so different.
Well, and the Broncos are just such a... This Broncos team... Now, the late 90s Broncos were ridiculous. Those two seasons, those Super Bowl seasons, especially the second season, they were killing teams. They were dominating everybody.
And
they
dominated
the Super Bowl. And they destroyed Atlanta. In the second one, that was, and a lot of people say that the first Super Bowl team was, the second Super Bowl team, Mike, they were killing teams.
Yeah, they were better.
They were better.
It really should have been that Super Bowl, really should have been the Vikings and the Broncos.
Yeah.
That would have been a game. But the Broncos, a lot of people say, oh, the Vikings would have killed the Broncos. No.
No.
I think it would have been a much closer game.
I think it would have been a close game. I found myself in the Super Bowl going, can Atlanta like do something to kind of make this interest? And they had like a kick return for a touchdown. And I was like, okay, at least it's kind of interesting now. But
four field goals, kick return in that fourth quarter.
Yeah. Now, that Denver team was ridiculous. This Denver team has some of that, where they're just stacked. They're great defensively. They're good offensively. And it just seems like the younger players on this team are learning Sean Payton. That kind of how it feels to you? That every week is just a new learning process. And if Sean can find a way to relay what's going on between the ears to these young players, that's the secret. That's the ticket. If he can do that, and it sounds like he's doing it right now. A lot of times there's great coaches. They just can't. Let me backtrack. They have great football minds. It's hard to relay what's going on in your brain to players, and that's sometimes why you see a disconnect. That's why you see coaches and quarterbacks sometimes just not work out.
Like Shanahan and Greasy?
Yeah.
Is Greasy never got Shanahan's system?
No.
He was better. Like he had that one really good year where he was hurt a lot. The Broncos ended up going to the playoffs and losing, and he wasn't playing in that game. But he just never had a great year with the Broncos other than that one year. And then he went to Tampa Bay, and he was doing well with them until he got hurt. And then went to Chicago. He was doing well with them, then he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
The poor guy, I just don't think he was, no offense to him, a smart enough quarterback for Mike Shanahan's system. You see that all the time.
And it does, yeah. Like, Shanahan and Plummer. I mean, Shanahan drafts Jay Cutler after Plummer's best season. Clearly, I mean, Plummer was just a slinger, man. He was one of those kind of throwback, Brett Favre-ish type quarterbacks that's just going to rely on his athletic ability and just quick decision making. He was going to throw half the game. He was going to throw terrible passes that made you pissed off, and then the other half he was going to do something really good.
Depending on how many mushrooms he had in his system.
Are you insinuating that Jake Plummer was high during his football games? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I'm just insinuating that he's got a mushroom farm.
He does now, yeah. Is Bo going to pass up a Jake Plummer pretty soon? I mean, Jake didn't play for the Broncos that long. Just made a lasting impression because they were playoff teams.
I think he'll pass him up pretty soon.
Oh, Isai Chris, by the way, did TV dudes just call out or trademark Orange Rush? Nance and Romo did say Orange Rush. Is that what we're calling this defense? I think that's a good one.
I think that's a good one, too. I did hear that. Yeah,
They're on the pace to break a sack record, so it would make sense.
I don't think they will.
No, I don't think so. They've slowed down a little bit.
I think they've slowed down. I think defenses have said, okay, we got to throw the ball
quickly,
faster.
Yep. And you're seeing that a lot more.
So the Broncos are going to have to either blitz a lot more people.
What is the record, Mike? Is it 72?
Is what 72?
Is the record 72?
I believe so. Let me look.
They're at 58 right now. Yeah. Mm-mm. Darn it. They were on pace, man. They were on pace, but they've slowed down a little bit. I don't see how they're going to get. What is that, 14? Three games? No. They're going to have, like, monster games. Monster sack games. I don't see it. And if they bench guys, it's like, what, 4 or 5 sacks a game?
That's tough.
That's tough, man.
That's tough. Yeah, you're going to.
Can they get it? Well, they're probably going to bench dudes. They're studs. If they do win this weekend, there's a realistic chance that the Chargers game won't mean anything to them. Not to say your bench can't get some sacks and stuff, but yeah, I don't think so.
Did you see Jonathan Cooper's, not his jersey, but his little sleeves were ripped on Sunday? And I'm like, wonder if he was being held.
Oh, probably. I mean, that's the thing about, we've talked about this a lot, Michael. Like, Nick Benito he's so elite, but he's a very unselfish player. And he's good getting taken on the double teams and making sure he's staying home and not just trying to go after the quarterback. He's a very selfless player, and that opens it up for the Jonathan Coopers. And Jonah Ellis got a sack, getting him back into the mix, too. D'Andre Tillman got a sack. But I unfortunately, Mike, I don't think there's just not enough. Now, if there are 4 games remaining, I think they could get it. But with 3 games left, they're going to have like a 6 or 7 sack game. One of these games.
And I don't see it against the Jaguars. I see it against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Because the Broncos have played very well. The Broncos actually got Gardner Minshew benched last year. So Broncos can do it against the Chiefs. Maybe have a really good game against the Chargers if they're not resting all their players. So I don't think it's going to happen. I wasn't sure if it was going to happen.
No, that's a hell of a lot of sacks, man.
I was optimistic early to mid part of the season. Once the Comadres game happened,
mm-hmm.
and they were throwing the ball down the field really quickly, I was like, okay, that's the only way you can beat the Broncos defense.
Yeah.
Other than the Broncos falling down.
Yeah. Well, it's a fitting name. The Orange Rush, that's a fitting name for this defense. I would say so. I'm just like, when it's all said and done, and Denver finds a way, get that number one seed. They got the first round bye. They win in the second round of the playoffs. They win the AFC Championship. Go ahead and complete the whole thing, win the Super Bowl. Where this team will rank compared to the other three Super Bowl teams.
And you'd really be an Orange Rush team if you beat the Bears in the Super Bowl on a safety. That would make you truly the Orange Rush.
Is that your prediction? That the Bears are going to make it into the Super Bowl?
No, I'm just saying that because I'm sure Faith is listening.
Oh, that was just
starting like a little rivalry with Faith now.
So you're going to be an anti-Bears fan?
I'm going to be the mean guy, and she's just a very nice person.
Chicago is second place in the NFC, and again, they play Green Bay this weekend. So, but that's tight in the NFC too, and you might get somebody from what's Tampa's division? The NFC South, yeah. You might get your wish, the thing you love the most. You might get a team under 500 to win that division and be in the playoffs. I know you love that.
I hate that so much. Undeserving teams do not deserve to make it in the playoffs.
Win your division, Michael. That's the rule. You win your
win
division.
Win your division, you get a T-shirt.
No. Then there's no point in having... there's no point in having... divisions then, if they don't mean anything. So just throw them all together, don't have divisions. Some have made that argument. Yeah, I think you would sign off on that, wouldn't you? Just do away with divisions and go with the top seven teams record-wise. See, I think that eliminates
it. Top six.
Now you're just changing everything.
I don't like the extra team in the playoffs. Yeah. That allows for more mediocrity in the NFL playoffs, and that
doesn't matter. Allows for two more markets to enjoy the playoffs. That was the thinking behind that with the NFL.
Yeah, it's about money. It's not about talent. Not about earning it.
I don't know, man. I mean,
get off my lawn.
Yeah, because the Giants won two Super Bowls, and they were probably. I don't think many people were picking Eli Manning's Giants to win those two Super Bowls, especially against the Patriots. So anything can happen. 23 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. Jacksonville, their journey, what's that looked like so far this season? And is that a pretty legitimate concern coming into town this weekend? We'll talk about it. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Fame Preps Talk. Listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, Lemons Heating and Cooling. They'll take care of your heater situation if you have one of those situations going on. HVAC contractor here in Greeley, but they're servicing areas throughout Northern Colorado. They have free estimates available now if you check them out online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. FirstAdvantage.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence is having a pretty good year. He's going to be a bit of a concern this weekend. Travis Etienne, though. Oh, he sounds like ATM or Antiem from Wizard of Oz. He's a stud. 949 yards with three games to go. And seven touchdowns, I think, I want to say. This is an interesting team, man. How did they get here? You know, what does that look like this season for them? They beat the Jets last week 48-20. They took down the Colts 2 weeks before that and 36-19, destroyed Tennessee, beat Arizona in overtime. They also smoked the Chargers 35-6. Had a close loss to Houston, won in overtime against the Raiders. Got killed by Los Angeles, somewhat close game against Seattle, did beat Kansas City, San Francisco. I mean, that's a good schedule, Mike. They beat Carolina. Carolina's a better team this year. Beat Houston the first time they played them. Beat the 49ers. This is a very good football team. And we're going to be going into kind of more details on Jacksonville and where they are right now, but they've got a good group. No concern from you, though. No concern at all.
None whatsoever.
Liam Cohen, he's the Duval guy. Remember when he came out and did that? The county that they're in, that Jacksonville's in, and they have a thing where they say, Duval, are you eating again? Did you get something bad?
No, I got something stuck in
my teeth. Well, from eating? You were eating earlier. Liam Cohen, man. Quick start for him. Hired in January last year, and he's been awesome. He was the OC with Tampa Bay. And I think a lot of people are starting to pay more attention to him. And again, it's Jacksonville. Not a lot of people pay attention to Jacksonville. So you have to imagine they're going to kind of come in with that chip on their shoulders. Denver won't have that luxury. They took advantage of that last week. Brian made a great point on Good Morning NoCo too, saying that if the Broncos would have been favorites in that game, he said I would have felt a different way about the Broncos winning. But something about them being an underdog almost felt, because sometimes they say you learn more from your losses. Something about them being an underdog almost felt like they learned something about themselves. And they took that us against the world attitude, and especially in the second half, proved a lot of people wrong. And so maybe that was enough of a wake up call for the Broncos. Not that they're 11-2 before that game. Did they need a wake up call? Yeah, it was realistic. I mean, hell, Jacksonville could make the case that their schedule's been a hell of a lot more difficult than the Broncos. But now that the Broncos have that Packers win under their belt, there's nothing in my brain that's saying doubt this team anymore. I don't know where we'll go when, you know, if they're going up against Buffalo in the playoffs. I just think getting that home field advantage throughout is so huge for Denver, and that's why this weekend is going to be epic. You know, you're rooting for a Broncos win, and you need three teams underneath them to lose. And then you lock that up. I just think it's really important. I mean, look at the home. You were watching the game yesterday, Mike. I mean, the home field advantage for Denver. That place is louder than, and I'm obviously wasn't there, but just from our couch, from TV, it seems a lot louder than it's been. Would you agree?
I would agree, especially after that INT.
That place was rocking after the game. You could feel the game change. It was almost like you knew.
More interceptions.
Yeah, the intercept. Man, dude, get more of those, and I think you're not just escaping games anymore. Although Sean Payton hates that. That you could tell when Surtain got that pick. You just knew the offense was going to come in and change what they've been doing, and now defensively they're going to step up the rest of the way. Eastside Chris says, I wonder if VJ didn't think Jacobs would be available and didn't plan for him. Maybe better think about ETN. No, I would not. I would imagine that was not the case. A lot of positive reports for Jacobs were trending the right way, that he was going to play. But there for a while, I mean, Mike, be honest with me. There had to be some concern about Denver's defense in the first half. It seemed like their offense could do no wrong. Moving up and down the field, settling for field goals, which was big early. Settle for, you know, they were up 6-0, so holding them to field goals instead of touchdowns was huge. But it did feel kind of like Green Bay between the 20s was doing whatever the hell they wanted in the first half.
I was very irritated by that.
Yeah. But then, this is what, like, great teams figure it out. It might not be perfect all season. You might give up some yards. Jordan Love threw for 276 yards. They ran for 115. You might give those up. But when you're stopping them, you're keeping them out of the end zone, your red zone defense is superior, and your third down defense is solid, and you're doing that in the second half when it means the most, and then you come up with a timely interception like Patrick Surtain's, it's huge. Yes, Michael.
I got to say one thing, though, about the field crew. You know, you have that choose love in the end zone.
Yeah.
You got to change that. You got to change that just for the week. Because you're playing against Jordan Love.
Oh, I didn't even pay. It said choose love.
Yeah, it said choose love, and you gotta change that to like peace is great for everybody, and then go back to choose love.
Is that theirs or is that the NFL?
That I think
because there for a while it was all end racism was in the end zone. Remember?
Yeah,
and all the racists that saw that went, holy crap! It's in the end zone. I'm not going to be racist anymore.
Yeah, it was just kind of a token message. I saw that and I'm like, wait a minute. Why do you guys have that in there? You need to change that just for the week because Jordan Love is the quarterback. You gotta it's gotta be some other message. Happiness.
I don't know. I think it's probably an NFL thing. I think they probably get so many messages that they can use and because the NFL wants them to. My guess is it's the NFL.
My guess is it's the NFL too, but like you have other messages, and I would have chosen one that didn't say love.
Would you have wanted to put end racism on there?
Better than the one that had.
Well, they should end racism. I just always find those messages weird. Like, don't hate.
It's NFL damage control.
A person that hates is going to go, oh, your bumper sticker says don't hate people. I'm not going to hate anybody anymore.
Or the coexist signs.
The coexist signs. Don't get me started on those.
Yeah.
You got like certain religions in that coexist word that they want to do the opposite of that.
Yeah. They're
like their religion tells them not to coexist, basically.
Yeah, these two religions are currently fighting one another.
Yeah. But they coexist. Let's spell it out with all the interesting images of religion.
Whoever did that, by the way, is a genius and has made tons of money.
Yeah, off of people that are, you know, I'm not, listen, people hear me and they're like, Brady, you don't want people to get along. I do. I just don't think you're going to change your ways based on a bumper sticker or an image or a sentence or a phrase in the end zone of a football game.
Yeah, it's just a way to say, this is what I believe in, and then cut someone off.
I saw one that was like, love all who love all. That was one in 2020. Love all who love all. I'm like, wait. So if someone hates someone, you don't love that person. So technically, you're not living up to your own thing. You know what I mean?
I thought it was Lovell. Like, no. Love Jim Lovell.
No, it's love all who love all. And I always thought that was funny because you're telling me that you don't love someone that hates. So that means you're not practicing what you preach when you say love all who love all.
Yeah, you should love all because that's the right thing to do.
It's dumb. It's dumb saying. Dumb sayings, Mike. But yeah, I agree. You probably should have got rid of the choose love thing.
Have you heard of those studies done by, I don't know who does them, but people who like have a lot of bumper stickers tend to be the type of people that cut people off and road rage?
It's because if you put a lot of bumper stickers on your car, you don't care how your car looks. So you drive recklessly, not caring how you drive, I suppose. That makes sense.
I think it's like a certain type of person, like just loves to brag about who they are, and that's fine. It's just like, I don't know. I feel like if you brag too much about who you are, you're probably the type who's going to cut someone off and fight with them on the street. First, I do love watching those on YouTube.
First Advantage, you need to get a life, man. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. No, I'm not a big bumper sticker guy. I think I've had a bumper. My team stuff. I'll probably put like a Nuggets bumper sticker or a Broncos one. I think that's the most I ever had.
That's acceptable.
Yeah, I don't put messages on there because I don't want someone reading a message on my bumper sticker and then running into my butt, you know, because they're trying to figure out what my bumper sticker's saying. It says, don't run into my butt. Thanks. You just did that. 39 minutes after the hour. The messaging thing is always just funny. But yeah, they should have changed it. I didn't even think about that. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, I didn't catch it until like the second quarter. And I'm like, wait, hey, that's Jordan Love.
Yeah,
I only hate good catch love by you. When it's not
choose
my
love,
Broncos.
Mike. It's the holiday season. So I hope you're ready to choose love.
I'm choosing capitalism.
Okay.
Buy things for people.
All right, that's enough. 39 after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You know, another thing about Sean Payton, Mike, a lot of coaches in a situation with a young running back, with a rookie running back, after that fumble, they put you in the doghouse and they don't let you out, at least for the game. But he didn't. He put him in there. You know, you fumbled the ball, key situation. All situations in a game like that are key.
He wasn't the next guy to receive the ball.
It was Jaleel McLaughlin. He replaced him in the second possession. The Broncos went 3 and out. And then drive number 3, Harvey was back in there. So lesson learned. You know, you learned your lesson. You sat out. You got to hang on to the ball. That's a big one. And I think, man, you know, I'm still unsure. I'm not 100% positive what kind of player RJ Harvey's going to turn out to be. But again, I think a lot of these guys, they just need more time with Sean. It's a complicated system. And RJ Harvey, man, having a very sneaky good rookie year with 10 touchdowns. 10 touchdowns. I was concerned. I worried that this, without J.K. Dobbins, you were really going to take a step back. But they've done enough in the passing game, and RJ's done just enough, and Denver really hasn't skipped a beat. Do you think J.K. Dobbins, like, you heard that report that he could play if the Broncos actually make the Super Bowl? Like, there's a chance J.K. Dobbins could play.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I thought for sure he was going to be out for a while, but there's a chance he could actually play if Denver makes it to the Super Bowl. I don't know. But overall, Mike, closing thoughts on the Broncos. Thing that sticks out the most, I got to say it's Bo Nix, his best game. If he plays like that, then go Pokes. We will say he's an elite quarterback. He's got to do it more often. Pat Surtain changed the game.
Surtain Lee did.
Yeah, that changed the game. Riley Moss, most overworked cornerback in the league. Denver's pass rush finds a way. Offensive line is a freaking wall. And Bo has lanes he can work up around. And it's fun watching him run around in the pocket like that. So, I mean, those are kind of my takeaways, man. Sean Payton has created a very unique culture. And George Payton, he's done a phenomenal job. A guy that people wanted canned. After he hired Nathaniel Hackett, and he's the one who gave Russell Wilson the contract extension. A lot of people were ready to run him out of town. And I thought Sean Payton would be one of those when he came to Denver, because he was talking about a lot of the things that were going on before he got there that shouldn't have been allowed. And, well, George Payton was the general manager. He was the boss. But it worked out. And now you have a 12-2 team that, given things go the right way, they're a great positive weekend away from clinching the number one overall seed and getting home field advantage throughout and the first round bye. So It's a fun time, man. 48 minutes after the hour. Big one tonight. Nuggets, Rockets. Excited about that game. Had that. I've had that one circled for a while, especially because the Nuggets are getting back home for the first time in 15 days. Can they break the home losing streak? We'll be watching closely. What do we learn, Mike? Apparently you are a big Dungeons & Dragons fan. That's what we learned. That is what we will all take away from this show. Today, it's a whole show powered by Chevron. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Find out what's happening in your community. Sports news and talk. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what do we learn on this 15th day of December? Michael, pretty easy. Broncos are legit. They are 100% a true contender to win it all this year. What'd you learn today, Mike?
I didn't learn that. I already knew it.
Well, you knew it last year, and you knew it when Russell Wilson was the quarterback, and you knew it when Trevor Siemian was the quarterback. So don't give me that. You don't get any of these. Oh, Micah was right all along.
You
a broken clock, man. A broken clock. That's what you are.
A patriotic.
That was mean. You're not a broken clock. But
I also learned that Faith is a Bears fan.
She's been cheering for the Bears like through her text all the time.
I thought she was talking about the UNC Bears.
She said last week that she was rooting for the Broncos to beat the Packers because it would help her Bears. You were here, man.
Right, do you have the memory of a goldfish?
Well, all right. Back at it tomorrow. Some interesting transfer portal news for the Colorado State Rams. I'll get into that. Quarterback stuff for the UNC Bears. So we'll shift a little more into the college side tomorrow. So looking forward to that. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.